الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So last week we mentioned that one of the requirements before a Muslim can enter Jannah will be the fact that they will have to be purified. And that's called tazkiyah. And that purification will occur either in this world or it'll occur in the hereafter. So there's an easy way to purify ourselves, which would be to follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sharia in this world so that we can enter Jannah without having to be purified in the hereafter. And the purification in the hereafter will be much more difficult. All these punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the hereafter, they're just as easily applicable to a Muslim as they are to a non-Muslim. A particular deed has its preset punishment destined in the hereafter and in the grave. And whether a Muslim commits that deed or whether a non-Muslim commits that deed, that purification will be mandatory in the hereafter before a Muslim can enter Jannah. So that was last week's discussion. Now, as a prelude to that discussion, you have to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Whoever says la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah, he enters Jannah. So la ilaha illallah is the mark of distinction that distinguishes a person who will eventually enter Jannah from a person who will eventually enter Jahannam. And this, unfortunately, in this day and age, is a very confused point among the Muslims. And you have to understand, the mark of distinction lies at La ilaha illallah. That's the mark of distinction that exists between those people that will enter Jannah and those people that will enter Jahannam. Now, in this day and age, especially in the way the world is functioning now, in this century, and especially in these last few years, this concept has arisen among Muslims and among non-Muslims, the way Muslims spread it, that anybody who does good can enter Jannah, and that you don't necessarily need to be a Muslim. And this is 100% against the teachings of Islam. Now, it's true. If somebody does good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recognize that good, and He will reward them. But for a Muslim, it will result in raising themselves in Jannah, and for a non-Muslim, it results in less punishment in the hellfire. But in the end, if you don't have La ilaha illallah, you cannot enter Jannah. So what's the proof? I mean, there should be some proof if you're making such a heavy statement, especially in this day and age. The proof is that, and especially nowadays, because it seems so confusing to us, right? We think, look at all these people, they're doing so much good. If somebody does good, right, they should be rewarded for it. Well, let's look back in the history of time. Who is the man in the past 1400 years who did the most good but yet never became a Muslim? That man is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he first began doing his dawah in Mecca, he had an uncle. And that uncle was someone who protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that the enemy could not kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, he acted as a protector, as an overseer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he allowed Islam to flourish in its early years, but he never took the kalima la ilaha illallah. That was his uncle. So imagine, what greater good can a human being do than to assist the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically? To protect the Prophet ﷺ physically, to become the means by which Islam would eventually spread throughout the entire world. What greater good can any human being do? Yet, the one issue with him was that he didn't take the kalima. In fact, when he was on his deathbed, the Prophet ﷺ went to him specifically and said, just say La ilaha illallah, just say La ilaha illallah, and I will then intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. But he wouldn't. His uncle would not say La ilaha illallah. Later, The Prophet ﷺ made a comment about his uncle. And he said the following, and the hadith is present in the book of Imam Bukhari. So it's a very solid hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, the least punished person in the hellfire, the least punished person will be that of the punishment of my uncle. His feet will be placed in hellfire and his brain will boil. So, he did, based on the good that he does, he will receive some reduction in his punishment. The fact that he protected Islam, he protected the Prophet ﷺ. But, he didn't have La ilaha illallah. And because he was lacking La ilaha illallah, his feet will be placed in hellfire and his brain will boil. And that will be the person who will receive the least amount of punishment on that day. So, it has to be very clear in our mind that that is the mark of distinction. Now, this is what the Prophet ﷺ emphasized. This was the central core of his message. And it wasn't only that of the Prophet ﷺ, it was that of every single prophet that came before him. This is what the Prophet ﷺ did. He knew that this was the mark of distinction. And this is the place he would not compromise. And when he wanted to go out and challenge people, he challenged them on this point, La ilaha illallah. See, the Prophet ﷺ was a man, and every prophet that came before him had this same mission. They understood what this kalima meant. And what they did was, they knew that the people around them had no choice but to accept this kalima. And so he would challenge people. He would take the kalima and he would challenge people. He would say, you have to become a Muslim. There was none of this, Muslims are good and you're good, so we're all going to live together. That's fine, we will all live together. But he challenged people, he respected them. He looked after them, he didn't force them, but he still put the ball in their court. He said to them, you have to become Muslim. You don't have a choice. Now, he respected them. He didn't steal their property or threaten their life, but he put the ball in their court, such that all of Mecca was in an uproar. Everybody went to sleep at night. If they weren't a Muslim, they went to sleep at night thinking, am I doing the right thing? They were challenged. They had to think about it every day. They heard this every day. In and out, day in and day out, the Prophet ﷺ would keep telling them, you have to say La ilaha illallah. Now, unfortunately, in this day and age, we've stopped asking people to become Muslim. See, there's two issues. There's accepting Islam, and there's accepting Muslims. We have left the concept of people accepting Islam, and we're more concerned that they accept us. There's a big difference. There's an enormous difference. We want that they accept us the way we are. We want to be part of the fabric of society. So accept us and we accept you. You're good and we're good. That's the concept of the da'wah. It's completely messed up. It doesn't make a difference if they accept us. They have to accept Allah. On the Day of Judgment, it's not going to do them any good if they thought we were nice people. The point that will matter is, did we tell them that this is the mark of distinction between Jannah and Jahannam? Did we even tell them about Jannah and Jahannam? This is what the Prophet ﷺ would tell people. What did he say the very first time he warned them? He stood up on a mountain and he said, if I told you that there was an army behind this mountain, would you believe me? They said, yes. He said, well, I'm telling you about something worse. You're going to be judged about your deeds. And Allah will place you in Jahannam if you didn't believe in Him. And if you didn't act properly. So from the get-go, the Prophet ﷺ challenged people and he put the ball in their court. And that's the responsibility that befalls us. We're so caught up in people accepting us. We say, look, Muslims are so good. They came up with all these concepts in medicine. They were the first people to, you know, develop water and sewage, engineering. They were the first people to develop these beautiful mosques. And we like to hand out pictures of this architecture and say, look, Muslims did this and Muslims did this and Muslims did this. So what? On the Day of Judgment, what will happen? The people will be called of this society before us, before Allah. And Allah will say, did you not believe in my oneness? They'll say, we were not told that we had to believe in your oneness. Then we will be brought before all those people. And then we will stand before Allah, and Allah will ask us, did you not deliver the message? And then the people will say, no. Nobody told us we had to be Muslim. Nobody told us that this hellfire that you created, that's sitting right in front of us, that we're going to have to go there if we don't become Muslim. We were told that Muslims cook good food, and Muslims, they have nice buildings. We weren't told that we have to become Muslim. We didn't know anything about this La ilaha illallah. And then, when they're thrown in the hellfire, the first thing they will say is, then throw them too. Because it was their fault. They didn't tell us. then what will we say then? We'll just put our heads down. I mean, it's a serious question. That's what drove the Prophet ﷺ. Everybody he met, I mean, they say that the Sahaba, if you would have spoken to them, you would have thought they were crazy because all they talked about was this. Why? Because they understood that this was the reality of the world. I mean, if there's, it's like a fire next door. You're going to yell and scream. Tell people that there's a fire next door. Get out of the building. They knew that there was a fire in the next world and that it was very close to them because this life is very short. So this is the ultimate responsibility that befalls us. Now, we're the ambassadors of Islam, right? I mean, Allah put us here as ambassadors of this deen. When was the last time that you saw an ambassador get up and say, well, I think this and I think that? He'll be fired the next day. There's no question about what the ambassador thinks. He has to ask the headquarters. He has to ask his country, what do you want me to say regarding this issue? And then he repeats exactly what his superiors tell him. Even if he thinks something differently, he has to repeat what his superiors tell him. Well, we're not the ambassadors of the United States. We're the ambassadors of Allah. So what room is there for us to say, I think so and so, and I think you're okay, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, and we'll be fine. We don't have that right. We have to say exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told us to say. And the Prophet ﷺ said exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to say. There's no room for discussion or I think, you think, or debate. It's not an academic discussion. We are parrots. We have been told what to say. And we have to repeat exactly that. There's no choice left anymore. It's not, I want to live my life the way I want to live it and I want everyone to accept me. You know, I want to be able to still go to medical school or I want to go to business school so people need to see that Muslims are good people. What responsibility is that upon us? We haven't been told that we have to go to medical school or business school so that everybody has to accept us. We've been told that we have to deliver the message of La ilaha illallah. That's the primary responsibility. Now, if extra things come in your life, fine, but that's still the primary responsibility. There's no going around that. So we have to begin to realize that, especially in this day and age, that that's the mark of distinction. That's where the battle begins. That's where we should be, our foot should be forward. And we should be challenging people. Now we work with people for 20, 30 years. We have friends that we are not Muslims for 20, 30 years, and we've never told them about Islam. We never told them about the fact that this is a distinction that they have to know about. Now I'm not saying you have to say, you have to become Muslim, you have no choice. But you have to tell them that this is our belief. Now the other thing is that this is our belief. It's not fact, it's belief. See, in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can be made wajib on Allah. Alright? I mean, if I'm sitting with a bunch of non-Muslims, I have to tell them two things. Number one, I have to tell them that you have to believe in Islam. There's no way, you have to believe in the oneness of Allah. There's no way around it. That's going to be what's going to distinguish people between hellfire and heaven, and that's my belief. Now, that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to do that. If Allah wants, He can put all the kuffar in Jannah. And if He wants, He can take all the Muslims and put them in Jahannam. Who's there to tell Allah what to do? You can't make something wajib upon Allah. So what will really happen on that day, should Allah's mercy decide to overtake, right? So we think about Allah's mercy and we say, well, how can it be that anybody would go to hellfire? Right? These people are good. They're not really doing anything bad. I don't see them killing people in the street. So why can't they go to Jannah? Yeah, they can. They can. In the back of my mind, I have some hope that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take over and it will just put everybody in Jannah. What difference does it make to Allah in the end? It doesn't make any difference if He puts everybody in Jannah. It's not going to change anything. But the point is that we know that Allah can do that. That's true. He can take all the kuffar and put them in Jannah. And if He wants, He can take all the Muslims and put them in Jahannam. He's Allah. No one can ask Him on the Day of Judgment. But that's beyond what we are responsible to say. There's an assignment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And that assignment is that you have to say La ilaha illallah to enter Jannah. So there's something else may totally happen on the Day of Judgment. Maybe Allah's mercy will totally overtake. Maybe His wrath will totally overtake. That's totally up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have a responsibility of what we're supposed to say. And that's the point. So we have to tell people this. What will really happen is up to Allah. And so there's no way around it. If our mind doesn't accept it rationally, it doesn't make a difference. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the power of this kalima, to realize that it's the mark of distinction, and to call other people to it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.